Light the candle, Tiger!
Hi there, a warm welcome to the Racing Post Golf Postcast. Bruce Millington, Steve Palmer and Star Sports Glenn Day looking back on a momentous US Open and looking ahead to this week's tournaments, two absolute crackers. So before we get who the boys fancy coming up, let's look back at the US Open. Gary Woodland, I guess the headline there, Glenn, is that he saved the industry in absolute hiding, didn't he?
Yeah, obviously, good result in the end. Plenty of business pre-tournament on all the leading fancies. As the tournament's progressing, Rose and Koepka very, very popular, especially on Sunday. So people didn't really want to know Woodland. So very good result for us.
I mean, Woodland, it just seems to have been a bit of a nearly man, doesn't he, Glenn? I suppose at 35, you know, a lot of people who... He comes onto the scene and people want to back him, and then they kind of desert him after too many disappointments. That's kind of his profile, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I was just saying to stay there. He's inconsistent. I backed him in the PGA last year. He played well. He placed second to Roy McIlroy in a match play. So he's got form there against, you know, the big players, but just inconsistency when he's on his game. Very good, as he proved on Sunday.
Steve, if you were awarding the trophy on the nicest golfer, for Gary Woodland would have been one of the favourites. He seems a really nice chap, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think everyone was pleased for him, weren't they? He's very popular with his peers and understandable why he's had a few troubles in his personal life. And obviously, we got the story of little Amy. I mean, he was wonderful with little Amy, the Down syndrome girl at the Phoenix Open. And that story has snowballed now. I think it actually inspired Woodland in the US Open, because he said when he was over those putts, he was saying to himself, I got this. In his head, he was saying, I got this, which was obviously the famous catchphrase of Amy. So, I was really pleased for Woodland. You know, it was a brutal week, 3 a.m. finishes. The betting, obviously, I didn't back Woodland, so I had no betting joy. But, yeah, I was pleased for the man.
Yes, indeed. In terms of the tips, if you look back now, what would your sort of view be? What would you like to have known at the end of the tournament before the start, apart from the fact that Gary Woodland would have won it? Did the course play as expected?
As for Woodland, there was a few clues there. I mean, he had some decent West Coast form. His recent spins at Pebble, he had a couple of decent rounds there. But just it was difficult to see him scrambling well enough around the small greens. Traditionally a very poor putter and a very poor short game. And, you know, he really turned it around. He gained 8.2 strokes. Gained putting last week on the field. I mean, his putting coach Phil Kenyon's got to take a lot of credit. You know, Woodland has he's had this weakness for his entire career, and then all of a sudden he's had this surge of short game form. I mean, you know, I backed Woodland in the Florida Swing a couple of times in the Florida Swing at the start of the year, and he putted like an elephant. You know, it's only very recently that it's come around. So Woodland was gettable, but not on my radar. And as for the course, played a lot easier than we anticipated. I thought the USGA would be quite lenient with after what happened at Shinnecock Hills last year, but I think they went too far. I don't know how you boys feel on it, but didn't feel like a US Open to me. The balls were spinning into the greens throughout the week because they were watering the greens every day. I was a bit disappointed. It felt like a lot like a regulation US Tour event to me.
Yeah, any joy on the punting, Glenn, or was it carnage?
No, personally, no. I mean, I just put up the three. I stuck with them. So, as Steve said, Schauffele sneaking in the frame with a good last round, even week. So, I can't complain.
And, Steve, any joy at all?
Yeah, we both had Schauffele, didn't we? Yeah, Xander Schauffele got a full place payout, finished third. So, keeps us well in the game, that.
I had a big match bet, Schauffele against Rahm. Schauffele parred the last. Rahm birded it, dead heat. Never mind. It was a good tournament, though. I enjoyed it. It was a great tournament. I just don't like those late finishes, Steve. They're very attritional, aren't they? And I should think a 3 a.m. finish when you've got a newborn tot must make life very difficult, doesn't it?
Yeah, I did find it very traumatic. I made it through to every one, but then the following days were just a blur, really. I mean, Margaret Thatcher always used to go on about having 4 hours sleep, didn't she, when she was Prime Minister? That's all she needed. But I don't know what was in her constitution, because 4 hours sleep's not enough.
Well, they called her the Iron Lady, didn't they? Any players to take out? Anyone who sort of bubbled under the leaderboard and you thought, I'm going to have him on my radar? Glenn?
Yeah, definitely. A guy that Steve put up a couple of weeks ago in Canada, actually, Danny Willett. Very impressive this week. Good third round, level par in the last round. Just everything seems to be coming back together for him. He's obviously in a better place again. I would say he's a player that looks like he's ready to win.
Excellent. Steve, what have you got for me?
Well, I know he disappointed you on that final hole, but I think you should not have any downers on Schauffele. His major performances are just so consistent. He's, for one so young, the way he performs, he's only 25, the way he performs in majors is incredible. And I think the tougher the major venues get, the more chance he's got. And he's massively on the radar for Portrush.
But also, Steve, he seems to be effective at any layout, doesn't he? I mean, you know, some of the guys who are good at the tough ones aren't so good when it's just a smash it down the middle. But all courses seem doable to him, don't they?
Well, yeah. I mean, he shot a 61 to win the Hyundai Tournament Champions at the start of the year, didn't he? So, yeah, very versatile player. And I just love his temperament. You know, I think you described him as quite dull, didn't you, in your column the other way. I thought that was a tad harsh.
I think
he's a decent character, and I think he's a top five player in the world.
Okay, let's move on to this week, and we'll start with the American tournament, which is the Travelers Championship, taking place in Cromwell, Connecticut at TPC River Highlands. And before the lads tell us who they like, Glenn, spin through Star Sports' latest betting.
Yes, certainly. We're 50 odds for sixth places this week. Brooks Koepka, 15-2 favourite. 10-1 Patrick Cantlay, 16s Jordan Spieth, 18-1 Molinari, Justin Thomas and Paul Casey, 20-1 Jason Day, the 25s Bryson DeChambeau and Bubba Watson, and 30-1 Mark Leishman and Tommy Fleetwood.
And what's the tournament rating, Glenn?
The rating this week comes out at an 8.
Fairly
solid.
Yeah, good. Steve, what sort of golfer will thrive this week, do you think?
TPC River Highlands, 6,841 yards. So a very short course by modern standards. It used to be ridiculously easy. Kenny Perry, one of your old favourites, Bruce. Kenny Perry once carded a 22 under par score in 1999. It's a bit tougher these days. It was revised in 2015, but it's still a birdie fest. So, tidy golf. Tidy golf from tee to green, then a hot putter are the keys to success.
Okay, and Steve, who will end up victorious in your opinion?
I can't leave Patrick Cantlay out of the staking plan. I think Cantlay's the man to be on this week. Very, very sweet on him. His first round 73 last week in the US Open, it was disappointing. We were on him last week. He was slow out the traps. He dropped 8 shots behind after round one, but he fought his way back to finish in 21st place. He was never in contention, so it's not a major which took a lot out of him mentally. I think he tees up this week fresh and focused. This is a player who... lost almost 3 years to injury. He's only got 2 US Tour titles in his locker, so there's no resting on his laurels for Cantlay. He won the Memorial at the start of this month, but he's hungry for further success. He played well the week after the Masters. He finished 3rd in the Heritage the week after the Masters, so there's no... I don't expect any post-major hangover from Cantlay. The quality of that Memorial performance can't be overplayed. The final round 64 was close to golf imperfection. This is a former world number one amateur. I think he'd be threatening for the world number one professional spot in the months ahead. He's ludicrously consistent. He's become weakness free. And as for his course credentials, he carded a second round 60 on this track as an amateur in the 2011 Travelers. Last year, he was 15th. I mean, he loves Pete Dye tracks. Yeah, I can't get away from Cantlay.
You can't get away from Cantlay. Glenn, what's your main selection?
I'm going to be very, very boring and go for the 3-time champion, Bubba Watson. Returning to the track where he gained his first victory, he's shown over his career that his courses that he's comfortable and he goes back and performs well again. 2-time winner at Augusta National 2012-14 and a 5th place in 2018. He's won 3 times at Riviera Country Club 2014, 16 and 18. And here at River Island, 12 outings, 3 times a winner, 2010, 2015, and last year. And he's also finished 2nd, 4th, and 6th. Riviera and River Island, both not very long. Bubba Watson, I think, is able to overpower them. Since 2008 here, he's ranked in the top 2 in driving distance. Quite a stat. On no fewer than 9 occasions. 7th in greens in regulation last year. Top 6 in scrambling on 3 occasions, and perhaps most importantly, he's 5 times ranked in the top 10 in putts for greens in regulation. His gameplay here appears quite simple. Smash it down there. He averages over 307 yards off the tee since 2008, and then when he gets there, relies on his touch around and on the greens. He's turning up in not particularly good form, but I don't see that as a reason for alarm. As the three occasions he won, he came here in similar form. In 2010, leading in, his form figures were 22, Mr. Cup 33. In 2015, group stage and a match play, 42nd, Miss Cup. And last year, 57th, 44th, Miss Cup. I just think something about Connecticut and River Highlands that sparks Bubba into life. And I expect him to do so again this week.
Well, that's a strong case there, Glenn. 33-1 is out there. Obviously, Star Sports are shorter because Glenn fancies them and he wants to duck Bubba. Steve, just I've got in my head that Bubba is a banger and therefore courses where the onus is on accuracy shouldn't really suit him. What's the situation? Is it just that maybe when his driver is behaving, he can actually take the chief out of the bag when others are going with three wood? Or, you know, how does that correlate? A big, powerful hitter like Bubba Watson at a fiddly track like this.
Well, he hits a nice cut, doesn't he? He's got the nice left to right shape on his drive, so they'll stop quickly and they'll be controlled. And it's often very soft at this course, and this week is particularly soft. We must mention how much rain there's been in the build-up, and there's a little bit more rain forecast. So very, very soft conditions, and Bubba will relish that. I'm very, very pleased Glenn has tipped to Bubba Watson, because if I was going to have one more, it would definitely be Bubba. You've got to respect that course record.
But you're only going with two this week. So as well as Cantlay, who's the other selection?
I'm only going with two because I want a big stake on Cantlay. And the
and
next best
you've tipped the entire field in the European tournament as well.
we got seven in that one. We got two. It's the first time I've ever tipped seven.
I should think seven?
They're all massive prices. All at massive prices. We got a total of nine tips this week. So typically you'd have, you know, five in each, you have 10. So
that's right, mate. That's fine.
Fewer players this week. So the next best is Daniel Berger. Daniel Berger, another cocksure American youngster. Like Cantlay, he's got two US Tour wins on the board. And like Cantlay, he's suffered some injury setbacks. Not quite as severe as Cantlay, but he needed 5 months off with a thumb injury at the end of last year. He's slowly but surely built up fitness and form and confidence since returning in January. He's made seven cuts in a row. And the Travellers is his best opportunity of the season to contend. He finished fifth on his TPC River Highlands debut. Then he got beaten by Jordan Spieth in a playoff the following year. You must remember that tournament, Bruce. Spieth holed a bunker shot and went bananas in the bunker. Poor old Daniel Berger on the green there and was beaten in a playoff. Berger's got a great record in other par 70s, which are similar to TPC River Highlands. His two US Tour titles came in the par 70 TPC Southwind. And I think his course credentials mean Berger will make the step up from playing good golf. He's playing good golf at the moment. I think he loves this course so much, he'll play great golf this week. And he's a big prize.
Righty-ho. And Glenn, apart from Bubba, who else are you going to put up?
My second pick, another player, very comfortable at River Highlands, Paul Casey. Also, he seems very comfortable in life in general at the moment. Birth of his child and the marriage to his second wife. He seems in a very good place. His demeanour on and off the course reflect this, and it's reflected in his results this year. A win where he achieved a lifelong ambition of defending a title at the Vale Spa. The two second-place finishes, a third, a fourth and a ninth, all amount to a very solid season. A strong finish in the final round on Sunday for a 21st-place finish at Pebble set him up very nicely for a tournament where his form figures are 2nd, 17th, 5th and 2nd. Unfortunately, he's going to bump into his old foe, Bubba, who he finished 2nd to on two occasions. In 2017, he led the field in driving accuracy, which obviously will come into play this week. He's had three top five greens in regulations, 2016, 2nd in scrambling, 2017, 7th in putts per round. So far this year, in these tournaments, he's ranked top seven, in overall stats. He's twice in the top 10 in driving distance, four times top 10 in driving accuracy, four times top five greens in regulation, appears highly in the scrambling stats, cuts for greens in regulation. Everything says Paul Casey's game is in full working order. And I expect to have a good show this weekend.
Lovely stuff. Are you, like Steve, just sticking with two, or is there anyone else, Glenn?
I've got a couple I'd just like to mention. I will throw him into the staking pan as well, but not going to go mad. Ben Ann, a guy that I put him up a few years ago as a player to watch, and within a month he won the BMW Wentworth, so that sort of went out the window. Flies his trade in the States at the moment. He had a really good first round in the Players. I backed him that week. I couldn't see it through, but signs that his game was coming back together. Finished 16th last week in the US Open, and I think if he puts it all in, he could put in a good show this week. The price is available. He's about 66-1. I'll take a chance on him. And another guy who's got good calls for, Ryan Moore. 5 top 10s, 7 top 20s. Again, he doesn't come here in great form. Showed a bit in the Texas Open, first in driving accuracy and third in greens in regulation. Showed it again, there's something there. He's coming back, plays well around here, and hopefully this will spark him into life as well. So 4 in the staking plan for me this week.
Isn't Ryan Moore one of those guys who's just got a bit of a leaderboard allergy when it comes to the weekend? He's sort of always thereabouts, but then he'll fall off and get a nice check without ever really competing.
He's won a few times, hasn't he?
Has he?
Did get pitched by famously by McIlroy in the FedEx Cup a few years ago.
Fair enough. All right then, you know more about it than I do. We're going to spin through the other market leaders and just get a view on them. Steve, Kupka, a single-digit priced favourite. Why should we not be backing him?
Well, surely the US Open sucked a bit of mental energy from him. That was a huge Sunday effort. A very poor back nine and ultimately a massive disappointment. He played in Canada as well. He played the Canadian Open prior to the US Open. So I think the tank may be empty. And obviously in regulation US Tour events, you know, his motivation has never been strong at the best of times.
Okie dokes. What about Jordan Spieth, Glenn?
Again, he's just not quite on it. I mean, he's repeatedly shown signs of coming back to form last week. There are plenty of birdies, but plenty of bogeys as well. His game isn't where it should be. Again, at the prices, he's third in the market. It's not for me, not at the moment.
Justin Thomas seems a bit out of form, Steve.
Yeah, missed the cut on his return at the Memorial, missed the cut in the US Open last week. I think he's finding it harder than he expected to recover his form after injury. So, yeah, I need to see a bit more from him before I start backing him again. I think this is a good chance for Spieth. This is a key week for Spieth because this is an easy setup. You know, he's putting well and he's won here. You know, he won here a couple of years ago. There's no excuses for Spieth this week. So it's a key indicator this week of the future months ahead for Spieth.
Okay, and finally, Glenn, Francesco Molinari. Is this his sort of gaff?
Yeah, definitely. I would say accuracy being a key trait needed here. That's how he's going. But again, for me, last few months, he's not quite been on his game as he was last year. He had a fantastic run for 18 months. Something not quite there. Again, at the prices, not really for me this week.
But, right.
You know, still part of a good show.
Okay, thanks, chaps. Let's look at the BMW International, which takes place at... it used to be at something called Gut Garden or something, didn't it? Anyway, it's
Gut Larchenhof.
That's it. Golf Club München. Eichenfried. Anyway, it's in Germany. Starts on Thursday, so get your bets placed before you go to bed tonight. Tonight being Wednesday. And Glenn, take us through the front runners.
Yeah, again, we're 50-odds first 6th places in this tournament. Defending champion Matt Wallace, 11-1 favourite. 12-1 Sergio Garcia. 14-1 Keimer and Fitzpatrick. And on 25, Juus Luton, Cabrera Bayo and Thomas Detry. And 28-1, Bernd Wiesberger, Jordan Smith, and Julian Suri.
Okay, long last, we've got a decent European Tour event. There's been some right old dross this year, but there's a decent field assembled for this one. And Steve, you've put up about half of them, so you're going to have to be slightly less expansive with your cases. But give us your main man first.
Main man is Thomas Detry, super talented young Belgian, settled nicely on the European Tour after taking the Challenge Tour by storm. And in his rookie season on the European Tour, he dropped a huge hint that his maiden title may come at Nord-Eichenried. In 2017, his form figures prior to the BMW International were miscut 48, 65, miscut, miscut. And his form figures after the BMW International were miscut 48, miscut. So he's on a terrible run. Zero confidence, but in the BMW, he finished second. He closed with a 66 and lost by a shot. So Detry is so well suited to Nord-Eichenried, he was able to throw the form book out the window and make merry. Two years later, self-belief has risen massively. He won the World Cup alongside Thomas Peters in November. He's been on leaderboards in Qatar, Morocco, and the British Masters recently. And last time out, 9 under par for 63 holes in the Belgium knockout, made the last 16 there. His form figures in Germany are 2, 37, 9, 18, and 13. It's a short hop from his Brussels home. So yeah, Detry main bet.
Steve, I'm interested there because as with Glenn's main tip in America, Bubba Watson, the key there is about the course form. Just very quickly, chaps, I want to ask you, what's more important, course form or current form? Steve?
Current form by a long way.
By a long way?
Yeah, yeah, current form. Yeah, if you're playing well, you can win anywhere. I mean, we saw Rory McIlroy on a course it didn't particularly suit last week, and you know, he played well and threatened to win that. So, yeah, course form, you always got to take into account course form, but current form is miles more important.
Do you agree with that, Glenn?
Yeah, 100%. Hit on the head. If you're in good current form, you play anywhere. If the course form marries up, all well and good.
Okay, what's your main tip, Glenn?
I'm going for local Martin Keimer to get back in the winner's enclosure. Been struggling a bit recently, obviously. Well, former winner this event, also finished second at Good Larsenhof last year. When he came into the event in no real form, having missed three cuts in his previous four outings. This time around, he comes back to Munich on the back of a couple of solid efforts. Obviously, third at Memorial, where he gave best on the final day to an inspired Patrick Cantlay, and a 35th place finish in last week's third major. Multiple tour winner. He's not been successful since 2014 in the US Open, but all the signs been there recently suggested drought could soon be over. On no fewer than five occasions, he's ranked in top eight in greens in regulation. At the Memorial, was seventh in scrambling, second in putts for green in regulation, and at the British Masters, he was fourth in driving accuracy. Comfortable playing in front of his home fans, obviously won this tournament in 2008. Also won on the Challenge Tour in 2006, the Vodacom Challenge. He also finishes a second, fourth, sixth and eighth in Germany. As long as he had a good week with the flat stick, I think Martin Keimer's drought would be over.
Okay, Steve, six more selections from you. I want rapid fire reasoning, please.
Next best, Julian Suri, American powerhouse, one of the best players on the European Tour. He was sidelined by a hernia operation, but returned to action at the end of March. Has been generally superb. Form figures of 24-2-19. No disgrace in missing the cut by a shot on the USPGA last time out. He's won in the Czech Republic on the Challenge Tour. He's won in Denmark on the European Tour. Eichenried, a perfect course set up for attacking sluggers like him. And then five more, all at massive prices. I mean, it won't cost you much to do this staking plan. I do my staking plans myself. I wouldn't put this staking plan forward if it wasn't viable. They're all enormous prices. Guido Migliozzi, aggressive Italian. He won the Kenya Open in March, then the Belgium knockout last time out. I see no reason why he won't go close again to a hat-trick, a European Tour hat-trick, and an Eichenried layout, which is made for his talents. Sean Crocker, similar player, fearless youngster, classy amateur, lost to Bryson DeChambeau in the semifinals of the 2015 US Amateur. His pro career, breeze through Challenge Tour, quickly got promoted. Been threatening a European Tour breakthrough. Two Frenchmen, Romain Langasque, former amateur star, Challenge Tour winner, Q School graduate, knocking loudly at the door of the winner's enclosure on the European Tour, sixth in Kenya, fifth in China, third in Denmark. He missed seven cuts in a row prior to teeing up at Eichenried as a rookie in 2017. Finished 31st. 2 years later, like Detry, much more confident. Victor Dubuisson, back to full fitness, had a series of problems. His attitude is better than ever. He was never particularly taken by golf, but he sees it as a job now. He's fully focused, featuring on leaderboards again, two-time tour champion, former Ryder Cup star, ready to win titles again. And then finally, the last one, Christopher Wrighton, a different 21-year-old Norwegian, was impressing the world at Pebble Beach last week. Victor Hovland finished 12th at Pebble Beach last week in his final outing as an amateur. Wrighton is great friends with Hovland, former roommates, bound to be inspired by Hovland's exploits. There was nothing between them when they were growing up. In fact, when Hovland got knocked out of the 2015 US Junior Championship, he caddied for Wrighton, who made it through to the latter stages. That's how close they are. They played each other in the last 16 of the US Amateur Championship last year, and Hovland won that match and went on to win the whole thing. But Wrighton's got a bright future as well. He's the only amateur to come through European Tour Q School last year. He's made a steady start to life on the pro circuit. 10 under par for 54 holes in the Belgian knockout last time out. So, yeah, I thought Christopher Wrighton was being dismissed too easily by the layers this week.
Okay, Steve, put the scatter gun down. Glenn, tell us who else you're putting up apart from Keimer.
Well, thankfully, Steve's done a lot of work there for me. My second tip this week is also Guido Migliozzi. I agree with everything Steve said there. We know he's got immense power. He displayed that in the Belgian knockout. I want to throw in onto that as well the fact that three times his last five events, he's finished in the top seven in putts for green in regulation. to suggest this guy isn't just all about power. Once he gets on the greens, he knows what to do. A few of the greens have been sorted this week. More undulations and that, so hopefully his putting skills will come to the fore. And also in the Belgian knockout, he was second in greens in regulation and first in scrambling. So he has got a short game. Yeah, he could indeed add his third to a title this season. And I want to throw one more into the mix. I did say a few weeks ago, I think he could be ready to win again. Bernd Wiesberger, obviously successful in the Made in Denmark. He also played in the Belgian knockout. I didn't think it looked such a strong event at the time, but I'm pulling a few out of it. After looking like he's missing the cut and feeling his wrist injury a little bit, he shot an amazing 7-under par in the second round to get through to the match play part of the tournament. And then he just went on a birdie fest. Saw off a couple of opponents quite quickly before he ran into Migliozzi. So obviously both in good form. Formerly ranked world number 23. And I think ran this venue this week, big hit in again. I think he put in a prominent showing.
Well done, chaps. Some excellent cases there on both tournaments. I'm definitely going to get involved on plenty of these selections. Let's just sum up who the lads are tipping this week. We'll start with the Travellers Championship. Steve Palmer.
Patrick Cantlay, Daniel Berger.
Glenn Day.
Bubba Watson, Paul Casey, Ben Ann and Ryan Moore.
OK, the BMW International. Deep breath, Steve Palmer.
Thomas Detry, Julian Suri, Guido Migliozzi, Sean Crocker, Romain Langhass, Victor Dubuisson, Christopher Wrighton. 5 of them, 60-1 or bigger.
Lovely stuff. And Glenn.
Martin Keimer, Guido Migliozzi and Bernd Wiesberger.
And finally, if you are only having one golf bet this week, what would it be, Steve?
I would have the Cantlay Detry each-way double. If you really want to destroy the bookmakers, the Berger Wrighton each-way double. That was 20,000-1 last night.
And Glenn.
Yeah, I'm having the each-way double, Keimer and Watson.
Lovely stuff. What does the rest of the week hold, Steve? Grafting away, anything nice?
Working every day until the open now. We've got a new book coming out. Do you know about that? The betting guide. New betting guide coming out this summer.
Betting guide or an open betting guide?
Racing and sports betting. Yeah, it's in the formative stages, but I think it's coming out at some point this summer.
Blimey, it's all happening since I took over. All these fresh ideas and brilliant innovations. That's good stuff, isn't it? Okay, so you're just grafting really, Steve, yeah?
Very much so, John.
All right, and Glenn, what about you? All work and no play?
No, a bit of play, but not one I'm particularly looking forward to, unfortunately. Tonight, I've been recalled to our Super League darts team. Been totally out of form recently. Self-imposed exile, but with a few guys on holiday now, I've been told I've got to get the old arrows out again. So,
oh, wow. Yeah. What sort of gram of arrow do you throw? A 26 or...?
22. 22. Mostly throw that these days.
And where's that taking place, mate?
Down the local in Ringmer, the Green Man.
The Green Man in Ringmer. So if you want to see Glenn Day playing darts, which I'm sure is a lifelong ambition, get yourselves down there. Who do you support, Glenn?
Football?
Yeah.
Yeah, Manchester City.
Do you?
I do. A lifelong fan of that. Yeah, going back to the days of Colin Bell and Mike Summerby and all those. So. Excellent. A lot of suffering before the last few years.
Yeah, oh, that's good, isn't it? So are you in the Sussex Blues? We've got a colleague called Nick Barnes who's in the Sussex Light Blues. There's a group of Sussex-based Man City fans, so you might want to hook up with him.
Funny enough, there are quite a few. In the Green Man in Ringmer, there are, I think, 4 or 5 Man City fans, basically. So, yeah, well-supported.
Excellent stuff. Brilliant. Right, thank you very much indeed, chaps. We're back next week with another Golf Postcast looking ahead to the Rocket Mortgage Classic. I'm not sure I'd want a mortgage with a company called Rocket Mortgage. Is that what the interest rate does if you get behind with your payments? Anyway, what did that used to be called, Steve?
That's a new one. That is in Detroit. It's a new tournament.
A totally new thing. It's not like the old Kemp.
No. It's a new one.
Okay, so we've got the Rocket Mortgage Classic and the Andalusia Masters. Is that Valderrama, Steve?
Very much so, yeah.
That'll be good. Lovely stuff.
I had a friend of mine play there the other day and give me the lowdown on the course setup. So I'm excited about that one.
Superb. Well, Glenn and Steve will be back for that. And we've got Royal Ascot Postcasts every day this week. So do join us for them. If not, we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Give them a haul.